Hello, welcome to Math for Knitters. I'm your host, Lara. This week, I'm going to take you through my somewhat disorganized but extremely mathematical design process. Basically, my dad wanted some slippers for his birthday, and I couldn't find anything that I liked, and so I designed them myself. I hope he likes them. But I'd like to start out by saying thank you to Craft Lit. That is a podcast for crafters who enjoy literature or who would like to know more about literature. And I will have a link to Craftlit on the show notes, and I'm also going to play her promo at the end of the show. Also, a little piece of mathy knitting I saw this week was in a little magazine called Knit Simple. It's the spring summer 2006 issue. It's published by Vogue Knitting. I'd never seen it before, but it's kind of nice. It has knitted patterns and crochet as well. And on page 22, there's a little article called Knit Report, Color by Number. And it talks about Fibonacci knitting. And I haven't talked about Fibonacci knitting with you, but I did do a segment for Brenda Dane's Cast On. Episode 23 is a little segment from me about Fibonacci and how you can apply Fibonacci sequence numbers to your knitting. And if you've seen the Da Vinci Code, then you get a little glimpse about how useful it can be to know Fibonacci numbers. Actually, that's kind of a joke, but it was kind of fun. It was a fun movie. I saw it. I liked it quite a lot. Whatever. But on with the show. Okay, so my dad's slippers. I wanted them to be felted, and I wanted them to have kind of a moccasin shape. When I looked online, I found mostly, especially for men, ones that were more like, they came up the ankle a little bit. And my dad, he's a very, very big guy. He's got huge feet. He's like size 11, 5E, I believe. So in other words, his foot is 5.5 inches wide and 11 inches long. And I thought if I wrapped that whole foot in wool all the way up over the ankle, he would just die of heat. And he lives in Oklahoma. It's not very warm. I mean, it's not very cold there, so he didn't need, you know, serious warm slippers. But I thought the felted would kind of give him some padding to stand on and would look nice. So I picked Lamb's Pride Bulky in size 13 needles, mostly because bulky yarn and size 13 needles are the only way I've ever made felted slippers out of the pattern from the Stitch and Bitch Nation, which makes the fuzzy slippers. And I made a pair for my stepsister and also for my mother. So what I did was I made a gauge swatch, and I made it 20 stitches wide by 28 rows. And I very carefully made sure it was exactly that, because when this yarn felts, boy howdy does it ever felt. There is nothing left. I mean, you literally cannot even tell which direction the knitting was running in when you felt this stuff. It just goes bananas. I'm not sure why, but it's really nice if you're doing a felted project to know what the yarn actually does. So I made this gauge swatch, and then I felted it. I put it in the washer with hot water, and I actually put the swatch through the dryer too. And then I measured it. And what's interesting is this particular knitting, the way that I knit it in stockinette at this size with these needles, it actually shrank more vertically. It shrank to 5.5 inches tall by 6 inches wide. And I measured it 3 times to make sure. And I even kind of, you know, stretched it a little bit to make sure that it wasn't just freaking me out. But no, it shrank more vertically. I don't know why. So I started thinking about the way that I wanted to knit these slippers. And I just finished reading Knitter's Almanac by Elizabeth Zimmerman. And I had read about her moccasin socks, where this idea is that you make a sock where the whole foot, the whole bottom part of the foot, is one piece of knitting. And I went back and I read her instructions for it, and I kind of thought about it. So I started with that idea, and I thought, well, what if I... Because I didn't want to just knit a little piece of rectangular knitting and then another little piece of rectangular knitting and sew them together. I wanted to knit it in the round in a way that would be interesting for me. So I got out my notebook and I wrote down all of these different things about my felted gauge and my needles and my yarn. And then I drew a little picture of what I thought the sole of the slipper should look like. When I looked at it, it was like a rectangle in the middle and then two half circles on the top. And I thought, well, okay, how do I make that? So if I cast on from the outside, what decreases do I need to make to create an approximation of that shape? And I looked at it and I looked at it and I thought about it. And I thought, if I just did the toe and the heel, it would just be a circle. So that would be a decrease by 4 on every round, or a decrease by 8 on every other round, as we've seen before. But then I thought, you know, I really don't want to make it perfectly round. I want kind of a pointiness to the heel especially, but also to the toe. And besides, in the felting process, I can mangle it, you know, however I want. So I decided that I, instead of making a circle for the toe and the heel, I would instead make a square shape. Now, this doesn't mean that this toe and the, that's going to be a rectangle. If you take a square and you turn it sideways, it makes a diamond. If you take that diamond and cut it in half and then insert a rectangle in between the two halves of the diamond, you get a pretty close approximation to what I wanted this slipper to look like. I know that's a little strange, but I thought, man, this would really be fun to knit. If you wanted a rounder shape, you could space. When I'm talking about these decreases and where I'm going to put them, if you wanted a rounder heel or a perfectly round heel and toe, then you could actually space them just equally among what we're going to call the end stitches. So I kind of started doing some math, and I thought, what is the difference between a circle and an oblong? Well, the difference is that I have to do what I just explained, that, you know, I divide it in half and I turn it. And I arbitrarily decided that I wanted it to be a square on the ends instead of, you know, an oblong or something longer. So that makes it pretty easy. So if my total measurements that I wanted for the slipper was, I'm actually flipping through my notebook if you can hear that, was 11 and a quarter inches long by 5.5 inches wide. And I wanted to make it a little bit bigger than I knew it had to be, because, you know, felting is kind of, at least when I do it, it's kind of an unscientific process. So I wanted to leave some space so that, well, if it didn't come up quite small enough, I could always felt it more. So using my gauge swatch, which said that 6 inches was 20 stitches and 5.5 inches was 28 rows, that means that I had 3 1/3 stitches per inch, and 5, just a little tiny bit over 5 rows per inch. So I decided I wanted to cast on the outside edge of this object, make some decreases to shape it, and then weave down the center of the foot. If you do not know how to weave, it's really something you should learn. It's also known as Kitchener stitch. It is what is normally used to close the toe of a sock, and it's just a vital thing. Frankly, the easiest way to learn it is to experiment and try it, and put your stitches on a piece of dental floss so that you can't lose them, and just keep trying. And maybe you get someone to show you, and maybe you learn from a book, and maybe you learn from online, but it's a vital skill, and it's way, way, way easier than it looks once you know how. Of course, just like everything else, if you know how to do it, it's easy, but it's just so vital. But if you were making these slippers and you just couldn't handle it, you didn't know how to do it, you didn't want to bother with it, of course you could just cast off and then sew together, but you'd have a seam going down the center of your foot. However, with this extremely heavily felting yarn, I doubt it would matter. I think you could do just about anything, and in the end, it really wouldn't matter. So the irony is, I made all this beautiful shaping, and it looks so neat, and then I felt it, and it's just a solid mass of felt. But for me, the important thing was that it'd be fun to make, frankly, because that's what matters to me when I'm designing something. Well, and that it looked like what it's supposed to look like, but ideally it's both. I drew a little diagram, and I really am going to scan this and put it online. And I took pictures of the slippers, before I did the final grafting on the last slipper, and then before felting. And I'm going to take some after, because I felted them already and they're drying. So those will be up with the show notes. But basically, I took half of the width of the slipper, which was 2.75 inches, and subtracted that on both sides from the total length, So I knew that I'd have 5.75 inches in the center to graft, and then the 2.75 inches on each side. That was my little turning area. And I did some arithmetic, and I did some reaching back to my days of studying geometry, and I figured out that the total number of stitches in terms of distance I would need for my slipper would be, let's see, where's that math? La 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 la. Yeah, 27.06 inches. So I multiplied that by my stitch gauge and got 90. Nice even number, 90. And then I said, okay, cast on 90 stitches, place markers at the cast on and halfway around, which is 45, and then put 3.89 stitches as the decrease line on all four sides. And in this case, that was 14 rows. So I'm sorry, 14 stitches. Well, actually, it was 12.9 stitches, but I rounded up to 14 so that I could make it nice and easy. And then I drew myself a little picture and said, okay, if I've got 14 stitches to decrease, I'm decreasing twice every other round. That means that I'm going to decrease for 14 rounds. And I did a little more arithmetic and made sure that 14 rounds gave me the depth that I wanted. And it did. It was very, very close to the final measurement I wanted, which was 2.75 inches deep. So I know this seems kind of strange, but basically, here's the more lengthy instructions for this particular slipper would be to cast on 90 stitches, knit. I made sides an inch high, so but you know a little higher. So knit 5 rows, purl 1 row, mark the center stitches, and then 15 stitches over. Why 15 stitches over? That's because for my decreases, which I wanted to look tidy, I wanted it to have basically 14 stitches in between. Let me make sure I'm saying this right. 14 stitches in between, and so that when I got to that last decreased row or round, they would... the stitches that I was using just outside of the stitches I was decreasing would actually meet at a point. And they did, so I was very pleased. So that means that instead of just going 12 rows over, or 12 stitches over, I actually went 15 stitches over, which meant that I had the 14 stitches I wanted to decrease, and then plus the one on the end. So it worked out. Basically, then I would, so that makes 4 little triangles that I'm going to make with my decreases. And there really are pictures, so don't worry. You know, this is going to make sense when you look at it. The website's address, by the way, is Math 4 Knitters. That's the letter, or the number 4. I always say letter, although it's a number. blogspot.com. And really, it will become more clear. It's not a very good podcast to say, oh, go look at it. But just in case you're having a hard time visualizing how this works, basically I have these 4 triangles I'm going to make that are going to be 14 stitches wide at the bottom and 0 stitches wide at the top. Or if you want to think about the stitches you're using to decrease, like when you SSK and K2 together, then my triangle is 16 stitches at the bottom and then 2 at the top. And every other round, I'm decreasing either SSK or K2 together to draw this triangle. And there are 4 of them. There's 2 at the toe of the slipper and 2 at the heel of the slipper, which means that there's a center section, which is just straight stockinette stitch. It's minding its own business. And then after I've made my triangles by decreasing down, then all I have to do is weave those stitches together. So it's a little sideways, but basically you're making this slipper from the outside in. And I just found it really fun to knit. I made the first one in just about 2.5 hours. And I think the second one took about the same time. And then I felted them, and I'm really pleased with them. So, and it took a little bit less than 2 skeins of yarn. And I actually did it in 2 colors. I did black for the sole and the sides, and then gray for the top. So So what about the top? Well, when I cast on, I cast on provisionally. And so I came back up and I picked up the stitches and I purled one round just to give it a clean edge. Then I changed to my other color, which was gray. Then I knit 25, cast off 40, and knit the other 25, or I'm sorry, and then knit starting the first decrease round, which was a row because this one is back and forth. Then I went K9, SSK, K12, K2 together. So what I basically did was I cast off a little less than half of the stitches and left 50 out of 90 on the needles, and I'm replicating the shaping from the bottom of the slipper onto the top of the slipper, but since it's only the one half, it's only two of the triangles instead of four. So it's just the exact same thing you just did to make the sole. So it's just a little... And when I had it finished, and unfelted size was 12.5 inches by 7.5 inches. And it all came out very well. When I pulled it out of the washer, I decided not to dry it because it had already felted so much. And I just took my hands and kind of pulled it into the shape that I wanted. And I think that they look fabulous. I hope you guys do it. But here's a quick formula for if you do not have size 11 5e feet, how to make your own design for this slipper. So you get a piece of paper. This is going to be just like the bust shaping we did last or 2 weeks ago. So desired length equals L, desired width equals W, center section equals L minus W equals A. Center section, it means the part that isn't going to be decreased at. That's the stockinette that just stays the same. But we need to know how long it is so that helps us figure out how many stitches to cast on in the first place. And the corners, now don't freak out, there's a square root in this. The corner distance, it isn't quite the same as if we just added, it's a little longer. Did you notice that my, let me get back here. My half of my width was 2 3/4 of a stitch, or 2 3/4 of an inch, but my corner length was actually almost 4 inches. And that's because what we're making is a little right angle triangle. And the hypotenuse is longer than either of the two equivalent sides. So if you already know about geometry and you know how to do this, just go at it. But this is kind of a cheat or a quick way of figuring the hypotenuse of that triangle. And here's how it goes. It equals the width divided by 2 times the square root of 2. Pretty simple. And that's B. So write B. B equals W over 2 times the square root of 2, which is about 1.45, by the way. So your total to cast on is 2 times A plus 4 times B. And of course, remember to use your felted numbers, not your unfelted. And I like to work in inches until I actually get down to the grindstone and have to convert to the number of stitches, because I don't want to be rounding stitches the whole time. I want everything as precise as possible so that it will actually work later. So then you place your decrease markers at the center front and the center back, and then B plus 4 stitches away. So actually, I told you wrong before. I said 15. I should have said 16, because it was 12 plus 4 equals 16. I just had a mistake in my notes here. Sorry about that. So then you work for 1 inch, purl 1 row, and then begin the decreases. And then if you've temporarily cast on, which you can do using a crochet chain, or you can do using the standard method. I'm going to try to find links to good explanations of these techniques, because if you don't know this, you're going to be a little hamstrung. Or, of course, you can just cast on your smaller number of stitches for your top. Now, to figure how many stitches you want for the top of the slipper, I just arbitrarily chose about 55% of the stitches for the top of the slipper. If you would like a deeper part of your slipper, you're welcome to try it. But basically, so I just took my total cast on and multiplied it by 0.55 and got my number, which was 50. And that worked really well for me. One little note, do yourself a favor. If you use this particular yarn, you probably want to put your slippers into a pillowcase when you wash them, a zippered pillowcase. And if you don't have one, go buy one, because it just made a giant mess in my washer. There was just mohair everywhere. It was crazy. So I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you make the slippers, I hope you enjoy them. And if you do, please post something on my website, or at least a link to your own blog, so that we can all see what they looked like when you made them. And one final thing, I am actually adding the ability to do phone interviews, and I'm very excited. I have a couple lined up, and I hope to have that for you soon, especially arithmetic people, bloggers on the line. If you would like to hear from somebody in particular, please let me know. Leave me a comment on the site or email me. That's LARANEEL@MAC.com. Happy knitting. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Welcome to Craftlit, the podcast for crafters who like books. My name is Heather Wardover, and I'm podcasting here from the glorious Hudson River Valley in the little village of Croton-on-Hudson, New York. Join me for a little Pride and Prejudice. You can find me at craftlit.blogspot.com or on iTunes.